The weird circle, rather like a scape after it, would go to fairly exotic places, and convincingly at that. And tonight it's Holland, where we have an 18-year-old and her fiancé who comes to claim her, the man, you might say, of her dreams, but unfortunately those dreams are not all that pleasant. And this fiancé has a bit of an age problem. He's a lot older than 18 by about 300 years, as it turns out. And this story from the Weird Circle from December 3rd, 1944, it's called The Wooden Ghost.
In this cave by the restless sea, we are met to call from out of the past stories strange and weird. Bellkeeper, toll the bell so that all may know we are gathered again in the Weird Circle.
Phantoms of a world gone by speak again the immortal tale, The Wooden Ghost.
Been here down. Look yonder on the road.
Well, what is it, Fandriel?
A man hailing us to stop. What shall I do?
Where? I don't see a thing but darkness.
He may be a highwayman. Do you have your pistol?
Oh, yes, I see him now. Stop the carriage, Fandriel. The man may need help. Now, where did he go? Fandriel, can you see him from your box up there?
No, Mynheer. He disappeared. Oh, look, Mynheer, now. There in the shadows beside the road.
A tall man in a cape and wide-brimmed hat. Fandriel, drive on.
Coachman,
hold the reins.
Mynheer Dow, what shall I do?
He's coming toward the carriage, Fandriel. Wait.
Are you Mynheer Gerard Dow?
I am. What do you want?
I have been waiting until your return from Rotterdam. You are the uncle and guardian of Rose Falderkaust, I believe.
Yes. Yes, I am.
Tonight, by the clock of the Stadthuis, I will call at your studio in Leiden to see you on an urgent matter.
Yes, but what urgent matter is it, mein Herr?
I will tell you of it then. Here is my card. Expect me at 7. Good evening to you.
Good evening.
Mein Herr Dow, what kind of a man is he? I could not see his face.
Nor could I, Fandriel. It was as if he had no face. Oh, the saints protect us. Drive away from here as fast as you can.
Get up there. Get up.
And I'll admit your good uncle's the best teacher in Holland. But without a shadow of doubt, I'm his most promising student. But I can't understand how you, Rose Falderkaust, can expect anybody to paint a portrait of a man without a face.
But, Godfrey, I told you I've never seen his face.
Well, then when did you first meet him?
Oh, long ago, when I was a little girl. And Uncle Gerard and I lived in Rotterdam. One day we went for a long walk outside the city and ate our lunch on the steps of an ancient house that's fallen to ruin. The statue was there, life-size, in a niche in one of the walls. It was carved of wood. Since that time, I've believed in him every birthday.
You mean all this is a dream?
Of course. You didn't think he was real, did you?
Oh, the saints preserve us. He's a dream. Of course I thought he was real from the way you spoke of him.
Well, perhaps he is after all. How else do the gold coins appear so mysteriously on my dresser every birthday?
Why, Rose, my darling, I really think you believe in this dream ghost or whatever you call him.
He wishes me well. He looks over me, brings good luck. Why shouldn't I believe in him?
Of course you should if you want to.
Rose, where are you?
Here, Uncle Gerard, with Godfrey in the studio.
Oh, I thought he wasn't returning till late tonight. Something must have happened.
Oh, dear, what a trip. 2 hours of being bounced and jostled in one of Hundreel's infernal carriages. I'll never rent another one from him, never.
Was it so bad, Uncle Gerard? You do look tired.
I do, do I? Well, I am. Oh, now, where's your new frock? Go, put on your new frock, Rose. Look pretty for Godfrey and for me this evening.
But I was planning to wear it tomorrow on my birthday.
A girl should always look pretty, birthday or not. You run along, Rose. Put it on.
All right, if you say so. Dinner will be ready before long.
Oh, there. She's gone. Godfrey, the most extraordinary thing happened to me on the road to Rotterdam just a little while ago. What time is it now?
Oh, a little before 7.
Oh, we've made it. Had to drive like fury, but we've made it. Godfrey, listen, and I'll tell you what happened. Then he walked away quickly into the darkness. I tell you, my boy, the hairs on my head. Oh, there's the Studhirsch clock. Godfrey, don't leave me. You stay here. Face him with me.
Of course I will, sir. Oh, but the card, what does the card say?
Here, read for yourself. You'd better turn up the lamp a little.
Yes, sir. Well, how strange. Riesel van der Huysen, Rotterdam, Manor House of the Boom Key.
Gentlemen.
Godfrey!
How do you do? Did I startle you? I'm sorry. My appointment was for 7, I believe.
Yes, of course. It was for 7. Come in, sir. Welcome to my house.
Thank you, but I can stay only a few minutes. This young man...
Oh, forgive me. He is Godfrey Schalken, a student of mine.
Is he to be trusted?
Trusted? Oh, indeed, he's a friend as well as a pupil.
Then perhaps he will do an errand for us. A matter of fetching a box for my carriage.
If Mynheer Dow wishes me to.
Indeed I do, Godfrey. Our visitor's wish is mine.
It's a small box, resting on the carriage floor. Will you bring it to us?
Why, I'll be happy to do so, sir.
Now, what can I do for you, sir?
You are the guardian of Rose Felderkaust, I believe. She is your ward.
Yes, that's right.
I am prepared to offer her 5 times the future she has a right to expect from her husband.
You are asking for the hand of my niece. I don't believe she's acquainted with you. But it is a tempting offer from so fine a gentleman as you.
Then it is only necessary to sign the engagement. I have the paper with me.
But under the circumstances, well, I think it best to consult with my niece about such unexpected business.
As you wish, after the engagement is signed. Here, there's ink and quill on the table.
But let me call my niece.
You are not content?
Another day, sir, when I know my ward's inclination.
Time is too precious, not another hour.
But I do not know if...
Write your name to the engagement.
Yes, as you say. There. It is done.
Speak of this to your ward when I am gone. Tell her the time has come. Tell her she need have no fear, that with me she will be safe from harm forever. Say I will return during the first hour of her 18th year. Tell her Rosel van der Huysen will watch over her, as he has done from the moment she was born.
Yes, I will tell her what you say.
Here's the box. It's as heavy as a block of lead.
Now it is in your hands, Mynheer Dow. Assurance of my promise. Good night.
But must you go? Really, my niece...
Tell her I will return. Good night.
Mynheer Dow, you've gone white with fear. What did that man say to you?
Oh, the saints forgive me, Godfrey, for what I've done.
What do you mean, sir? What happened?
He took the paper with him. Godfrey, call Rose to us quickly.
Here I am, Uncle Gerard. All got up in my newest frock. I even pinched my cheeks to make them rosy. Now do I please you both?
Rose, my child, I've done a terrible thing.
What is it? What happened, Godfrey?
Your uncle had a visitor named Rusel van der Huysen.
What? Rusel? Such a man was here.
And demanded that I sign the paper. An engagement in marriage for you, Rose, and this man who says you are acquainted with him, that you'd welcome his proposal.
An engagement paper? Rose, did you know anything about this?
No, of course I didn't. Rusel isn't a real person. He
was quite real to your uncle and me. Look what he left. A box full of gold. Ancient gold coins.
Gold?
Then it's true. He is real. It's my birthday gold, Godfrey, don't you see?
Mynheer Dow, let me have that card.
Yes, of course, my boy. Here it is.
I'm going to find out what this is all about before it's too late.
Godfrey, where are you going?
To Rotterdam. That's where I'm going. To look up this Rusel van der Huysen at the manor house at the Boom Key, wherever that is, and bring back the engagement paper.
Godfrey, wait. Oh, what is he doing? Uncle Gerard, stop him. There's no need.
No, my child. Let him go. I, for one, will welcome information about this stranger.
But didn't this man say who he was? Didn't he ask to see me?
No, my dear. And he was gone almost before we knew it. He did say one thing, though. He said to tell you that you need have no fear that he'd return during the first hour of your 18th year.
The first hour? Then that's tonight. 5 hours from now. Uncle Gerard, tonight.
Rose Feltekhaus.
Oh, who is that in the garden?
It is I. Come to you as I said I would.
You are Rusel.
Of course. Don't you recognize me?
Yes. The wide hat, the long cape. Just as I used to dream of you on nights before my birthdays. But I don't understand. I thought you were a recurring dream.
And so I have been, till now.
My Uncle Gerard waits for you in his study, and I was waiting here in the garden until he called me in. You didn't see him.
We have nothing to say to one another. You and I will set the marriage time. Come. We have much to say.
I'm afraid, Mynheer.
The fear will go. Take my hand.
I cannot leave the garden.
But there is much I would show you. And at last the time is now. It has been too long. My carriage waits on the street.
Will you take me away?
Only to show you wonders. To have you say you love me. With an understanding heart. Come. Here is the garden gate.
Mynheer Dow, where are you?
Oh, Godfrey. Oh, it's you. Oh, thank heaven you've come. The saints preserve us, my boy. We are dealing with a demon, my boy.
Rose, where is she?
Gone. Gone into the night with that demon stranger.
But where? Why didn't you stop her?
Oh, I'm an old man. I cannot stand this harrowing business. He returned a short while ago, just after midnight, and then I thought I took precaution. Rose was in the garden, and I waited here for his knock on the door. But he didn't come, and when I chanced to look out, he was helping Rose into a carriage. And in a moment, they were gone.
Which road did they take?
For Rotterdam. Well, you must have passed them, surely.
Yes, it was one of Hundriel's rented carriages, speeding along the road. What'll we do? Where has he taken her?
To Rotterdam, no doubt, to one of his luxurious houses.
Mynheer Dow, this man has no houses. In Rotterdam, there is no such place as the Boom Key.
Why, there must
be. It doesn't exist, I tell you. But what I did find out is enough to make your heart stand still.
What, my boy? What did you find out?
The manorial records do list the van der Huysens, giving their residence as the manor house of the Boom Key. But Rusel van der Huysen has been dead for 3 centuries, and the line ended when he died. Mynheer Dow, Rose is engaged in marriage to a dead man.
A dead man? But Godfrey, he was real. He was no ghost.
How can you know that, Mynheer Dow? To us, he appeared to be nothing more than a large hat and a flowing black cape. What is underneath them? A man or an invisible being?
Well, and the gold, Godfrey. The coins are ancient ones, antiques. Even the dates, you see, more than 3 centuries back.
His apparel, too. He wore a costume out of the past.
But what shall we do? How do you look for a ghost?
I don't know. But we must find them.
And Rose, what can this dreadful sympathy be? There's bound to be more to this than we could possibly know.
Mynheer Dow, the carriage. It was one of Vandreel's. I know it was. And this stranger must have rented it. Put on your coat. We're going to find Rose.
But how, my boy? What do you intend to do?
Vandreel will tell us where he was directed to go. If somewhere there exists a ghost world belonging to this dead man, we'll find it even if it's beyond the common strength of man to do so. Vandreel, drive as fast as the darkness will allow you. Are you sure you can find the place?
I think I can. It was some miles this side of Rotterdam by a little road that ran next to a canal.
And Vandreel, did they just disembark in this deserted place on the road?
That's right. He said drive until I saw 2 men standing to one side of the highway.
But, Vandreel, when did this stranger hire your carriage?
Well, a little before midnight. I heard a loud knock on my door, and when I opened it, there he stood.
What did he say?
Said he wanted to hire a carriage. He offered me a whole sack of gold. Naturally, I couldn't refuse that, even if it were a funny time of night. He said he'd meet me in front of your house, Mynheer Dow.
And you waited there?
Until he came out of your garden gate with your niece.
So he told you then to drive toward Rotterdam until you saw these men waiting on the side of the road. What were they like?
I really couldn't say, sir. I mean, it was very dark. I could only catch a glimpse now and then of their clothes. Looked very old-fashioned, they did, though. I think one was a footman and the other a coachman. Yeah. I saw a very ancient and dilapidated-looking buggy standing on the narrow road that branched off from the highway.
But they took this second carriage to where?
Oh, don't you see, it's hopeless, my boy. How can we ever trace them?
Did he mention where he was going, Vandreel?
No, he didn't say a word.
But this road, what road is it? Do you know where it goes?
Well, if I remember rightly, it runs a few miles over the moors to an old, old house that's fallen to ruin. It's far off the beaten track, and nobody ever goes there.
Then that must
there's
be...
There's a name for it. An ancient manor house it is. Called the Boom Key, I think.
The Boom Key. Godfrey, it's the very same.
Yeah. The Boom Key. So that's where it is.
Yeah.
Mynheer Dow, the Lady of Good Luck rides with us this night. Vandreel, take the road to the ruin. To the Boom Key.
Yeah.
There is nothing to be afraid of, my Rose. We are at home.
But let us come another time, Mynheer. It's so dark here, and there's lightning in the western sky.
I will protect you, even from the lightning. Look, is the manor house of Boom Key to your liking?
Boom Key? Is that where you brought me, Mynheer?
It is our home, and you will be a lady here, with beautiful gowns and servants, anything you desire.
I was here before, long ago.
I know. I remember it well. You were a little girl then.
But who are you? I don't ever remember seeing you before except in my dreams. Mynheer, I don't understand. Who are you?
I am one who has waited beyond the generations for this night, when you would come to me.
But I'm afraid. I don't like it here, Mynheer. Take me away back home. Please take me away.
I cannot now, my Rose. The risk is too great. Come. There is nothing to fear. Take my hand.
No, no.
We have much to say. We must set the wedding day, and I would show you treasures and shower you with precious gifts.
The statue. There in the niche. That's where the statue was.
You remember it then? It was a statue of myself.
Where is it now?
Come with me. I will show you.
But where would you take me?
To the tower. There you can see the splendor of the Boon Key. All that I offer you, for a bit of affection in return, a bit of love in exchange for the outrageous riches of a king.
Oh, take me away. Take me back. This is but a ruin. There's nothing here except decay and the feel of death.
But that's not true. There is beauty here. I have tended it all these years just for you.
Then why do you hide from me now behind that cape and hat? Show me your face so that I won't be afraid.
Come then, and I will show you. Come with me to the tower. Here are the stairs.
The tower stands alone in the ruins, and the stairway is open to the sky. But then, will you take me back, mein Herr? My uncle, he will grow alarmed. He's an old man.
He loves you, too.
How can you love me, whom you have never known, mein Herr? How?
It began very long ago. She was as beautiful as you. Limpid brown eyes and dazzling cheeks. And her hair was like the shining ripples of a canal water. But what was her heart like, my rose? It was like a stone on which the frost sits. And she betrayed me.
Who was this woman?
Look, here from the tower, the fields of tulips.
Stagnant marshes they are.
The abbey and the windmills.
Piles of musty stones.
She would have had it all, but she betrayed me.
Who betrayed you so, mein Herr?
Oh, my rose, now you can save me. A man who has never loved, who can never die till he feels the warmth of a woman's heart. Say you love me now. Say you do.
No, no, mein Herr, take me away. Please take me away.
But she was your grandmother, four times removed, and I loved her more than I loved my own life. And even as you, her name was Rose.
My name's sake? She's been dead 3 centuries, mein Herr.
Even as I. And when she betrayed me, I stood here in the nighttime and climbed here to the tower's ledge.
Oh,
and my body dropped from this height to the ground below.
Mein Herr.
But I could not die. My ghost lived on, hungry and cold for the want of a woman's love. And none will set me free save yours.
My love.
Because you are the first girl child of your line. Since she betrayed me, and I have waited and tended the Boon Key, and longed for the time when 3 words from your lips would unbind me from the earth.
You are a ghost. You are a dead man.
Don't turn away from me. Look. Look at my face.
No, no. The statue. The wooden statue.
It is the only physical being I know.
Stand back from me.
Is it such a frightful thing? Rose. Rose, say the words that'll send me on my way. Is your heart so empty of a gift of kindness even as hers?
Godfrey! Godfrey!
Below in the cellars of Boon Key are coffers of precious gold, and I offer it all to you for 3 small
Godfrey,
words.
Help me! Help me!
Rose! Look! There she is in the tower!
They have come to take you away!
Godfrey! The stairway to the tower! You see? It's open to the sky!
I have waited 3 centuries for this night and for you. They shall not take you back!
What will you do? Mein Herr, come back! Come back! Godfrey! He's coming down the stairway! He has a sword!
Andriel! Mein Herr, now! Look! There he comes!
Stay back! He's brandishing a sword!
Mein Herr, I beg of you, do them no harm for my sake. I will say anything you wish, for my heart cries with pity. Is not compassion enough? Then I do love you with grief, mein Herr, and I would have you free. Do you hear me? Do you hear me, mein Herr? I love you with sorrow because you are lost, and I would have you free.
Look! The lightning struck him and he fell to the ground. The figure burns like kindling.
Oh, what a terrible thing to see.
Look how straight it lies, like a statue of wood.
Rose, oh my darling, are you all right?
God's sake. I was so frightened, so afraid.
But now it's all right. You're safe. And the ghost is destroyed. Look where it burns.
He was a ghost in a wooden statue. A phantom caught between two worlds and belonging to neither.
Come, my child. Let us leave this dreadful place. It's like a tomb here.
Now he is dead, Uncle Gerard. When I said the words, did you see? The lightning set him free.
Yes, my darling. We saw.
And above all, he wanted me to say I loved him. He gave me the riches of a king, Godfrey, just to say I loved him.
The carriage is waiting, Mynheer Dow.
We're coming, Fondrieu.
And he meant no harm, Godfrey, for his heart was full of kindness. He was lost. He had no place to go. And the sword. The sword was only a wooden one, after all.
From the time-worn pages of the past, we have brought you the story, The Wooden Ghost. Bellkeeper, toll the bell!
Pages of the past, we have heard another immortal tale in The Weird Circle. Bellkeeper, toll the bell. Be here in this lonely cave by the restless sea once again next time for another immortal tale in The Weird Circle.
And that's the story of 18-year-old Rose and her considerably older fiancé, that man of her dream. The Wooden Ghost, tonight's entry from The Weird Circle, from December 3rd, 1944. Murder at Midnight is next. We'll experience it as old-time radio drama continues right after this, on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Here's the premise tonight. Roger wants Lorna to run away with him and his piano. And his playing is that effective. Effective enough to make her leave Martin. But when he stops playing, what happens? We'll find out in this story called The Dead Hand. It's Murder at Midnight from September 16th, 1946.
Murder at Midnight.
Oh, wait. Come back here.
Wait, nothing. Says you're nuts, crazy. And
no. Oh, don't. Sorry, Hook. Very sorry. But I had to have it. I'm going to have it. And once you're dead, you'll never miss it.
Midnight. The witching hour when the night is darkest, our fears the strongest, and our strength at its lowest ebb. Midnight. When the graves gape open and death strikes.
How?
You'll learn the answer in just a minute. In The Dead Hand. And now, Murder at Midnight. Tales of terror and retribution by one of radio's best-known mystery writers, Robert Newman. Its title, The Dead Hand. The
Hall's studio cottage on Dr. Martin Trent's estate. Seated at the piano, alone in the gathering darkness, is Roger Blaine, the famous pianist, and playing as only he can play.
Hear me, Lorna. You must hear me. You must come here now to me. I'm calling you, Lorna. Calling to you in a way you could never resist. Through my music, making your heart beat faster, your breath come quicker. Lorna.
Hello, Roger. Am I disturbing you?
Always, Lorna.
Martin's out at the hospital, and I heard you playing.
That's not why you came, Lorna. You came because I called you. Because you promised you'd come and give me your answer.
What we talked about last night, my going away with you. Roger, I must have been mad. I don't know what got into me.
Don't you, Lorna? This is what got into me. My music. Telling you things I never could tell you in words.
Roger, stop. I can't think when you play like that. I can't believe him. He's my husband. I love him. Respect him.
Can you love a surgical instrument? Can you compare what you feel towards him with what you feel to... Now, this minute.
No, it is different. Roger, how can we? He's your friend. It was he that brought you here, gave you the cottage.
And haven't I given him anything? Music like this. Music such as no one has ever heard before.
Roger,
Lorna, listen to me. It's what I'm saying here. I love you. I need you. It was you who helped me find depths within myself I never knew existed. You've got to come away with me. You owe it to me, to yourself, to the world.
Roger,
You know you want to. And you're going to.
Roger, no, I can't. I tell you,
are.
All right.
Lorna.
We can talk to Martin when he gets home tonight. Tell him. I think
he... No, Lorna, there'll be no talking, no explaining. My car's outside and we're leaving right now. The music, my music, was still with me as we drove out through the gates, down the highway, pulsing, throbbing. Yes, I could hear it, but could Lorna? I glanced at her sitting there beside me. Happy, dearest?
What? I don't know, Roger.
You don't know? Don't you realize what this means, Lorna? I'm playing better than I ever played before, and this is only the beginning. After my New York concert, South America, then Europe.
Roger, are you sure you love me? Me, as a person?
What do you mean, Lorna?
I know you've said you do, but whenever you've talked about it, Roger, about us, you've talked in terms of your music. Roger, are you sure that's not what you love?
Of course I'm sure. If I didn't have my music and I couldn't play, I don't think I could live.
I know.
With you. You who lifted me to heights I never dreamed of, technically, emotionally.
Roger, stop the car. Turn around. Take me back.
What?
Take me back.
I don't understand.
I do, for the first time. With Martin away so much, I was lonely, flattered by your attention. And your music was like a drug, keeping me from thinking. But now I can think. And I know you don't love me, and I don't love you, so please, Roger, take me back.
No.
But, Roger, can't you see? This whole thing was a mistake.
It was not a mistake. I won't take you back.
Well, I'm going back, whether you take me or not, and if you won't stop the car...
No, let go of that brake. Let go of that. That's it. Look out. When I opened my eyes, I was in a bare white room in a hospital. Standing next to the bed, Lorna and Martin.
Hello, Roger. How are you feeling?
I don't know. What happened?
You were out driving with Lorna. The car got out of control and you had a smash-up. They rushed you here to the hospital and... Well, you've been here for 2 days.
Smash-up? Yes, I remember. Are you all right, Lorna?
Yes, Roger. I was shaken up.
Oh, my hand hurts. Especially the fingers. Nothing happened to her, did it, Martin? I've got a concert in a few weeks, you know.
Roger, don't stop it.
What? Why are you looking at me like that?
Oh, don't worry about it, Roger. Not now.
Well, I've got to know. I've got to see.
Roger, please. Gone. My hand. My left hand.
Martin, what did you do to me?
Roger, I think you know how I feel about you, about your music. You've got to believe me when I tell you there was nothing I could do about it. Nothing. It was your hand or your life.
My life? And what is my life without my music? Nothing. Worse than nothing. A living death. Why didn't you let me die?
Don't say that, Roger. We'll do anything we can. There must be something.
Something? There's just one thing. You've got to get me another hand.
We will, Roger. There have been some wonderful developments in prosthetics.
No, I don't mean an artificial hand. I mean a real hand.
What? Roger, you're mad.
No, I'm not. You took my hand and you'll get me another one.
Oh, we'll talk about it some other time.
You think I'll forget about it, don't you? Don't you? Oh, I won't. I say I'm going to have another hand, and I will have one. And what's more, you're going to help me get it, dear, here. You're going to help me.
I was able to get up and around a few days later. I didn't talk to anyone if I could help it. Because somehow I couldn't ever look at their faces. Only their hands. Big hands and little ones. Long-fingered ones and stubby ones. Yes. They each had two hands. And I, to whom my piano meant more than life, had only one. Then, sitting alone one evening, I met Hawk. I looked up, and there he was, a small, slight, sharp-featured man.
Hello. Nice evening.
Yes, I suppose it is.
Hey, you mind if I sit down for a couple of minutes?
No.
I wouldn't usually bust in on anybody, except that... Well, I'm getting out of here tomorrow, and I feel pretty good about it.
Oh? What was wrong with you?
Bad heart. I'm going to have to take it easy from now on. It's going to make it kind of tough in some ways, but... You don't happen to have a cigarette on you, do you?
Well, yes, I do have. It's a... Well, at least I did have it. Silver cigarette case. Can't seem...
Is,
Fine.
Is it?
What? Oh, yeah. Where did you find it?
In your pocket.
You mean you took it?
My name's Harris, Joe Harris. You usually call me the Hook. This is my racket. Rather, it was until...
You're a pickpocket.
Well, one of the best in the business. But now with my ticket going bad, I guess I'll have to lay off, except like now for a gag. You didn't mind, did you?
Why? Certainly not. I'm very impressed. As a matter of fact, do you mind if I look at your hands?
Look at them? What for?
Beautiful. As beautiful a pair of hands as I've ever seen. It occurs to me that you say that you don't know what you're going to do when you leave the hospital here.
Well, I just hadn't thought about it much. Why?
No, I've got a proposition that might possibly interest you.
No kidding. What?
Well, I'd rather not discuss it with you here and now, but I expect to be leaving here myself on Friday. If you'd like to come and see me sometime after
you
that...
You say where and when?
Well, I've been staying at a little cottage on Dr. Martin Trent's estate. I'll probably be going back there. How about Saturday night? Late, around 11:30.
Fine. Okay with me.
Then it's a date. I left him there, hurried back to my room. I wanted to be alone. Had to be alone, for I was afraid that what was on my mind might show in my face. It certainly was a date. A date with death. A man obsessed, half mad, and his unsuspecting victim. Will both of them still be alive to hear it when the clock strikes 12:04? Murder! At midnight. I did leave the hospital on Friday, went back to the little studio cottage. By Saturday night, my arrangements were completed. They weren't very complicated. I made it clear to Lorna and Martin that I wanted to be alone, and I picked up a length of iron pipe. The pipe I hid inside the piano when I heard footsteps coming down the path. There was a knock on the door. Come in.
Hi. Not too late, am I?
No, you're not too late.
Hey, pretty nice place you got here.
Yes, it is quite nice. Sit down.
Oh, thanks. Now, what's this here proposition you want to talk to me about?
It's a very simple one. How would you like to make $10,000?
What do I have to do?
You don't have to do anything. Just sell me something. You're left hand.
What? Are you nuts?
No, I'm serious. I've got the money right here in cash.
I don't get it. I just don't understand.
Look, I'm a musician. I'm a pianist. Or I was until I lost my hand. If I can't go on playing, then life doesn't mean anything to me. My own life or anyone else's. But you, how important is your hand to you? Now, an artificial one will do almost as well. And you can live for quite a while on $10,000.
You mean you really thought I'd sell you my hand? Let you cut it off? I'm getting out of here.
Look, wait.
Wait, nothing. I said you was nuts, but I didn't really think... Well, what are you going to do with that? No. No, don't. You can't. Some way. Somehow I'll get you for this. I swear.
I'm sorry, Hook. Very sorry. But I have to have it. I'd rather not go into what happened after that. I got rid of the body, and then I went to see Martin.
You don't look well, Roger. Anything the matter?
No, I just came to see you about your promise.
My promise?
Or your debt, whichever you choose to call it. I told you I wanted another hand, that I was going to get another hand, and that you were going to help me. Well, now you can help me.
What do you mean?
Look in here. See?
Good Lord. Where did you get this?
It might be better if you didn't ask too many questions. I'm fighting for my life, for more than my life. You took my hand away from me. Well, now you can give me this one.
You mean you honestly, seriously think that I can perform an operation of this sort, do a graft, and that after I'm finished, you'll be able to use the hand?
Why not? Operations of this sort have been done, haven't they? With other parts of the body? The eye?
The cornea, not the eye. And some nerve grafting has been done. But this... Look, Roger. I know what a shock this whole thing has been to you. Know it better than you. You're not a well man.
A well man? I'm only half alive. And I'd rather be dead than go on living this way. But if I do die, I won't die alone. That's why I brought this along.
Roger!
Quick, easy, painless. If you won't do what I want, you die. And so does Lorna. Both of you, along with me.
You don't give me very much choice.
No.
All right. You win. Get me to the hospital.
Even before I became fully conscious, before I opened my eyes, I knew that it had been done. But it wasn't his hand anymore, but mine. Still, something wrong. I couldn't analyze what it was at first, but it was there. A feeling that something wasn't quite right. That perhaps it wasn't entirely my hand. I sat up. The hand was a mass of bandages, stiffened with splints. And inside the bandages...
Careful, Roger. Don't touch the
foot. Oh, Martin, I didn't see you.
I've been here with you ever since last night.
Last night? You mean I've been out that long, 24 hours?
It was very important that you keep quiet. You've been under sedation.
Oh, yes, of course. This isn't the hospital.
No, I brought you home with me, back to the house.
Oh.
I thought it would be best for several reasons.
Oh, that's very smart, Martin. We don't want any questions, do we? Not yet. You did do it, didn't you?
What? Yes.
I knew you would. Could. And it's going to work. It is working. I can feel it.
Please, Roger. You must be careful with that bandage. Hmm? You can't touch it, move it, disturb it in any way.
I won't, Martin. But I don't have to. I tell you, I can feel the fingers moving, even inside this.
And in another week or so...
We'll see.
Yes. We'll see. Got a cigarette, Martin?
Of course, I have it right. That's funny.
Hmm? What is?
My cigarette case. It was right here in my breast pocket. I must have left it downstairs at the hospital.
It doesn't matter. I can do it. Look. Martin.
Yes?
I think here.
Here it is. Under my pillow.
What? How did it get there?
I don't know. It must have fallen out when you bent over. But no.
Why are you looking like that?
Because I think I know how it did get under my pillow.
What do you mean?
When fingers learn something, a special skill, they don't forget it, ever. Mine never have. Even when I'm not thinking of what I'm doing, they go on playing by themselves. These fingers here, they haven't forgotten either. You understand?
I'm afraid
I forget it. I'm awfully tired all of a sudden, Martin. Would you mind?
No, Roger. I'd like you to get as much rest as possible. There's a friend of mine coming here tomorrow to see you. Another doctor.
That's fine, Martin. I'll see you in the morning. Yes, I was tired, but that wasn't why I asked Martin to go. This is because I wanted to be alone, because I had to be alone. Because I knew now what it was that I'd only sensed before. The hand. Hook's hand. Had a will of its own. It had picked Martin's pocket without my even being aware of it. I lay there alone in the darkness after Martin went, not touching the bandages, but flexing the fingers, forcing them to obey my will. I had to do that. I knew I had to do it because I suspected what might happen. And what did happen proved that I was right. I fell asleep finally. And while I was asleep, I dreamed. I dreamed I was walking down a dark, labyrinthine corridor somewhere under the earth. Then...
A little closer, Roger.
Huh?
Just a little closer.
Who's there? Who's there?
Just me. Waiting for you.
Hook!
Yeah, Hook. I said I'd get you. No, well...
Out of the darkness came a hand that clutched me by the throat. Tied him. I fought against it. Tried to scream. Woke up. Yes, I woke up. And my waking was more horrible than the dream, for the hand was there, gripping me by the throat, moaning, exerting every ounce of my strength and will. I fought it off and pulled down. I lay there, bathed in a cold sweat, staring at it, feeling the fingers quivering inside the bandages. My hand or his, I was tied to it now. Tied to a thing that was seeking to destroy me. Shaking convulsively, I leaped out of bed. I ran out into the hall and down the stairs to the living room, the piano. That was the one thing that might save me, save my reason. Seating myself at the piano, I started to play, using only my right hand at first. And I tried to force my left hand. His hand. Join it. Then suddenly...
No, Roger.
No.
That won't work. No music.
Stop it. Do you hear it? My hand now, it's mine.
No, Roger. Never.
But it is. I'm stronger than you are.
Nothing is stronger than I am. Nothing in the world. And there's no escape. Because we're one now, Roger. And wherever you go, I'll be there too.
It's not true. It's not. What are you doing?
Just a little closer to the desk, Roger. A little closer. That paper knife.
Look. Can't.
But I can, Roger. I told you I'd get you somehow, some way.
Don't put it down. Drop it.
You can't fight against me, Roger. I told you. I'm too strong.
Martin! Water! Quick! The hand is safe. The hand!
Where is he, Martin?
The living room. I heard the piano and... Good Lord.
Mark!
He's dead.
But why? How? He was saying something about a hand.
He was in a completely psychotic state as a result of shock and a sense of guilt. The state psychiatrist was coming tomorrow to commit him.
Oh, Mark.
That hand he brought me, wanted me to graft on. I don't know where he got it, but I suspect that was behind the whole thing.
Behind it?
Yes.
Well, what do you mean?
You don't really think I did graft it on, do you?
Well,
he was desperate, and I had to do something to quiet him. I splinted his left wrist, wrapped it in bandages, and told him not to touch them.
Martin, that paper knife in his chest.
Which hand is holding it?
His right one, his good one.
Yes. And still, in a way, it's possible that the dead hand, the one he was so concerned about, did guide it.
Her eyes wide with awful comprehension, Lorna stares at her husband, then down at Roger Blaine's body as, somewhere in the silent house, a clock starts chiming for murder at midnight. Remember to be with us again when death stretches out his bony hand and the clocks strike 12 for murder at midnight. With music by Charles Paul, Murder at Midnight is directed by Anton M. Leader.
That was Murder at Midnight, The Death Hand, from September 16th, 1946. All kinds of twists and turns, and a missing hand, the result of it, and some fakery that allows the dead hand to wreak revenge. Our last little tale for old-time radio drama for this Saturday night, but we'll have more tomorrow night and next weekend as well, and every weekend from 8 to 11. I'm Norman Gilliland, and I hope you can join me by the glow of your radio. Same time, same station of Wisconsin Public Radio.